Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna. Introduction. Text 5 to 7. So I will chant 5 and 6, and you will please chant responsibly text 7. Pita maha me samare maranjayar deva vratad yatiratais timingilai duratyayam kurava sainya sagaram kritavataran vatsapadam smayat plava dronyastra viplushtam midam madangam santana bijam kuru pandavanam jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro matushchameya sharanam gataya. Please repeat. Viryani tasya kila deha bhajam antar bahi purusha kala rupai prayat chato mrityam udam ritam cha maya munishyasya badasva pavidam. Word for word, Pita Maha, my grandfathers, the five Pandavas, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev. Samare. Okay. Samare, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Amaram Jayai, with fighters who could gain victory over the demigods on the battlefield, Devavrata Adya, Bhishmadev and others, Atiratai, great commanders in chief, Timingilai, resembling great Timingala fish, which can easily eat large sharks, Duratyayam, very difficult to cross, Kurava Sainya Sagaram, the ocean of assembled soldiers of the Kuravas, Kritva, considering such an ocean, Ataran, crossed it, Vatsapadan, exactly as one steps over a small hoofprint of a calf, Sma, in the past, Yatplava, the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, Droni of Ashvatthama, Astra by the Brahmastra, Viplushtam, being attacked and burned, Idam, this, Matangam, my body, Santana Bijam, the only seed left, the last descendant of the family, Kuru Pandavanam, of the Kurus and the Pandavas, because no one but me lived after the battle of Kurukshetra, Jugopa, gave protection, Kukshim, within the womb, Gata, being placed, Ata, chakra, taking in hand the disc, Matu, of my mother, Cha, also, Me, my, Ya, the Lord, who, Sharanam, the shelter, Gataya, who had taken, Viryani, the glorification of the transcendental characteristics, Tasya, of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akila Deha Bhajam, of all the materially embodied living entities, Antabahi, inside and outside, Purusha, of the Supreme Person, Kalarupai, in the forms of eternal time, Prayachchata, who is the giver, Mrityam, of death, Uta, it is so said, Amritam, Cha, and eternal life, Maya Manushyasya, of the Lord, who appeared as an ordinary human being by his own potency, Madhasva, kindly describe, Vidvan, O learned speaker, Shukadeva Goswami. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which commanders such as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samashrita ye pada palava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. His goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaj Parikshit therefore felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness, Ante Narayana Smriti. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipful deity of the Pandavas family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the supersoul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, is not at all a devotee, yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy. Sammabhami Atmamayaya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Svarupena Vyavastiti. This is the highest perfection of human life. Om Gyane Timirandasya Gyananjala Shlakaya Chakshu and Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ranchakapri Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vichar Patilam Pavanaviya Vaishnaviya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So King Pariksit is wanting to know about the glories of Krishna, who is always situated in his original position as Sat-Chit-Ananda. That is the body of Lord Krishna, is Sat-Chit-Ananda. Vedanti Tattva-Vidas Tattvam Yaj Gyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdate. Learned transcendentalists understand the absolute truth as Paramatma, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Advayam, non-dual. So Krishna is realized in three aspects. The first is impersonal Brahman. That is realization of his Sat potency, which is the potency of eternality. When one realizes eternal Brahman, there is realization of eternality. But at that level, there is no scientific knowledge of Krishna. One simply has spiritual focus, and at that stage, one understands what is not reality, what is not Krishna. And the process there within Brahman, impersonal Brahman realization, is neti neti. That is the best that is achieved. Not this, not this, not this. Now, to progress from that, one has to be austere and practice non-enviousness. And the next realization is, of course, Paramatma. That is realization of the Chit Shakti. Realization of Paramatma gives eternality and knowledge. And realization of Bhagavan is realization of Ananda, bliss. So only in the realization of Bhagavan is included all aspects. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Therefore, Vigraha, the complete form of the Lord, is realized. So, Janmadyasa Yataha, the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. So, understanding this, the scriptural advice is Akama Sava Kamo Va, Moksha Kama Udara Di, Tirena. Bhakti Yogena Yajate Purusha Param. Now, whether you have desire akama, no material desires, or whether you have sarvakama, many material desires, or whether you desire liberation, moksha kama, the idea is that you should approach Lord Krishna in devotional service. That is the recommendation. And tivrena means with full force. It doesn't mean, maybe, okay. It means with full force, perform devotional service. Now, the example of someone who had big desire was Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom as big as his father's. So on the advice of his mother, he took up devotional service, and eventually his desires were fulfilled. He didn't mix it with any other process. He just engaged in pure devotional service to fulfill that desires, and he achieved those desires, and in the end he didn't require anything, but Krishna gave him rulership for, was it 36,000 years or something, over his own planet. So Krishna fulfills the desires of the devotee in so many different ways, and we should definitely approach him, whatever our situation is, just like Kardama Muni approached Lord Krishna for the fulfillment of his desire. He desired a wife. He was asked to produce progeny, and he needed a wife to achieve that. So for 10,000 years, that was in the Satya Yuga, for 10,000 years he performed yoga, mystic yoga practice, meditation, for 10,000 years in order to achieve that desire. So after 10,000 years, he propitiated Lord Vishnu, who appeared to him standing on the shoulders of Garuda, four-handed Vishnu form, holding a lily in one hand, looking here and there, very pleasing. He was very satisfied with Kardama Muni's meditation, and he told him that because of his, he was very pleased with his devotion and commitment, that he had already fulfilled his desire without his asking it, because Upadrasta Numantachar Bhata Bhokta Maheshwara, that Krishna exists as a super soul within the heart and knows the past, present and future, and knows what our desires are, knows our, what our most intimate desires are. So he had already granted that boon, and as the paramount, he knew exactly what he wanted. So then he told him that because he had taken shelter of him, for anybody who has dedicated their lives, given up everything for Krishna, that such a person never achieves frustration. His desires are always fulfilled. Oh, there's a rat.
You want to hear Bhagavatam?
Hare Krishna. His desires are always fulfilled. So there are four kinds of devotees, four kinds of Mahatmas who approach Krishna in devotional service, right? They're all actually Sakama devotees. They're devotees, but they have material desires. So, where did he go? Hare Krishna. So, so Krishna fulfills the material desires. So they want, one is inquisitive, one person is inquisitive, one is wants economic relief, one is in distress, and the other one is in knowledge. Now the person in knowledge is very dear to Krishna because he has realized the Purnam, the whole, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He has realized that Krishna is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Three O's. Therefore, he has no desires. He doesn't even look for happiness from the Lord. So anyway, Krishna fulfills the desires of all these devotees. And then Lord Vishnu told him that that because he had worshipped Krishna, that his desires were fulfilled beyond his expectations, and he was going to get a wife who was better than he could have imagined. And of course that was true. It was told by Lord Vishnu, the day after tomorrow Swayambhuva Manu will come with his daughter, and he'll want you to be her husband. And Devahuti was very highly qualified. She was also a yogini, adept at mystic yoga practice, and was a very beautiful black-eyed lady. So beautiful that she was playing on the roof of her palace, and one, I think it was a Gandharva, was it, was flying over, and he was so captivated by her beauty that he fell out of his aeroplane. So so that's it, that if you approach Krishna, you get You can get more than you desire. If you just want $200 a week, okay, Krishna might give you $200 a week. But if you just leave it up to Krishna, then you can get unlimited. Krishna can give you unlimited. Like in America, there is one temple where, when I left some years ago, everybody was on the payroll. Over $30,000 a year payroll, and even the payments were made by an external accounting company, and the devotees paid taxes. So that was, obviously you can imagine, that created a very fruitive environment. Whether the devotees wanted that money or not, it created a very fruitive environment. But if you just want $200 a month, then Krishna will give you that. But if you just leave it up to Krishna, he might fulfill your desires beyond your expectations. Like yesterday, this is a little autobiographical, excuse me. Yesterday I was feeling very desolate at that feast because all the devotees are engaged in so much service. Leading kirtan, cooking, dressing the day, whatever, everybody was doing something and I was just doing nothing. I'm just seemed to be just eating and sleeping. And reason was I hadn't been asked to give class for a couple of weeks, Bhagavatam class, and that was difficult for me because I had nothing to meditate upon. So I had a choice. I could either approach Dharmatma and ask him, you know, what's going on? Have you forgotten me? Because I don't know, because I tend to be a little critical. It's been a natural characteristic. Sometimes I'm more critical than it's healthy for me. So maybe I'd offended somebody or said the wrong thing, and maybe I wasn't going to be asked again. I didn't really know. So I had a choice. I could either ask him what was going on, or I could just leave it up to Krishna. So lo and behold, last evening, 7 o'clock, I got the phone call, and here I am now. So at least I haven't been the architect of my own downfall. Even if I mess up, that's all right. I did my bit. I think this is what I'd like, you know, we should like to practice on a regular basis, just leaving everything up to Krishna. Now, Sudama, you remember Sudama, he went to Krishna. And he didn't want to ask Krishna for anything. He only went because his wife, they were living in such niggardly condition, ramshackled hut, leaking roof, and his wife was practically dressed in rags. And he only went to see Krishna because his wife, thinking of the well-being of her husband, asked him if he could go because he was at Sandipani, he was at school with Krishna. And his wife knew that, and she thought, well, you could just go and ask him. He can at least help us. So he went to Krishna with Jai Sri Sri Gauranitai, with a palmful of flat rice. That was what he took. He went to Dwarka. He went through, he passed through all the gates, being a Brahmin. He got the darshan of Lord Krishna. And Krishna received him royally, as he does all the brahmanas. Krishna observes the Vaishnava etiquette, Vedic etiquette in these matters, and he reminded Sudama of their childhood pastimes. But Sudama didn't ask for anything, but Krishna knew he had the flat rice, so he took it from him and started to eat it. And he said, by this the whole world can become satisfied. But then Rukmini took the sweet flat rice from Krishna and said, you can grant him anything he desires. Whatever he desires, you can grant him. So Sudama did not ask for Krishna for anything, but he was very happy to have got his darshan. And he was walking home, and he got to the place where his hut was, but there was no hut there anymore. But many palaces and beautiful gardens with lakes and birds and all kinds of wildlife, and beautiful people there were dressed in fine garments. And he was greeted, his wife came out looking like the goddess of fortune. So she had gone to bed feeling niggardly and had woken up feeling like the goddess of fortune. And so he thought, well, what is going on there? Then he realized that Krishna had fulfilled his desires more than he could have imagined. And at that point he was still looking his old self, otherwise his wife wouldn't have recognized him. So he went inside the palace, and the palace was there was so much ivory and gold and precious jewels on the walls, and everything was very, very opulent. So that was Sudama's experience, how Krishna fulfills all our desires. But sometimes Krishna also takes away everything. That is also Krishna's mercy. If Krishna is actually maintaining our status quo, he's maintaining the status quo of everybody, even his Vishnu Tattva expansions. So if Krishna took away that, our status quo, where would we be? We woke up in the morning, couldn't remember who we were. We can remember who we are because Krishna says, Murti Smriti Gyanam Apanam Cha, I am the source of remembrance and forgetfulness. So we remember who we are by Krishna's mercy. But what if we were to forget? So Krishna is maintaining everybody, and the idea is that we should approach him for all our satisfaction of all our desires. And even if Krishna doesn't fulfill our desires, no matter, we're still his servants unconditionally, life after life, because it's a fact of devotional service that for devotees, only the service of Krishna can satisfy them. No amount of opulence can satisfy a devotee. That's why these great Rajasis were able to give up their kingdoms in a moment's notice and go to the forest or the Himalayas, because their only satisfaction was coming from serving Krishna. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and we should accept this wholeheartedly, he says, depend upon me. Do not depend upon your own resources, depend upon me and work under my protection, Matpara, work under my protection. Krishna is saying that. And Krishna also says that who is most dear to him? That person who explains the absolute truth to the devotees. There is no one more dear to Krishna than that person. And that person is what is guaranteed pure devotion. Guaranteed pure devotion. So it's such an honor and a blessing to be able to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. To give this knowledge that we receive from Srila Prabhupada about the absolute truth, and to explain to people how they can be free from anxiety by simply depending upon Krishna in all circumstances, whether you have all the material desires or whether you have no material desires. Because Krishna will fill your desires undoubtedly, but it will come a point where you will desire only to please Krishna. Your desires will be purified, just like Dhruva Maharaj's desires were purified. So King Pariksha is wanting to know the glories of the Lord, and we're going to hear about his intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. So, does anybody have any questions, please? Yes, Brahma.
talk about independence, and Krishna wants us to take shelter of him. You know, we want to take shelter of Krishna, that he's the doer. So Arjuna said, I don't want to fight, Krishna, you fight. Or somebody could say, well, I'll give the example, like we have our international bookshop. Somebody had to put their energy into ordering the books, setting it up, displays, and that. So how do we know whether Krishna is giving us the inspiration that we actually physically do something that shows that we actually are taking shelter of Krishna, or by not? Let's say maybe Krishna wanted you to call Dharmananda and say, hey, Dharmananda, what's up with my class? And he said, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, thanks for reminding me. You know what I'm saying? Krishna could be acting in many ways.
Yes.
If we take it that, well, I'm depending on Krishna, so I'm not going out to provide for my family, because Krishna will provide for my family.
Uh-huh, right.
Or I'm not going to cook today, because I don't feel like maybe Krishna can bring me to cook instead of me. If you know what I'm saying? Where's the boundary for depending on Krishna and actually thinking that we actually have to physically do something and are we the doers?
Right. Well, the boundary, it depends upon the circumstances. Obviously, we have duties to perform. This sounds like a familiar question. We have our duties to perform, so we should always perform our duty, prescribed duty, according to our spiritual master, according to our authorities. We may desire other things. We can make that known. But the best situation for a devotee is that his service is desired. It is necessary. It is not that we make work just to engage devotees, but there is so much preaching to be done, so much work to be done in the temple, that hopefully management are in a position where they're on top of everything, and they know exactly what needs to be done, and every aspect of management is taken care of, and everybody is engaged according to their capabilities. Otherwise, if you can make your desires known, maybe you have some idea about the kind of service that you want to do. But if the management don't desire that, it's not going to help you very much to push that cause. We're very much at your mercy because you're the manager here and other devotees to create a... Yes.
If you want to accomplish something that takes endeavor, and that endeavor is your enthusiasm, hoping with philosophically coincide with Krishna.
Yes. Well, for ourselves, we don't endeavor for anything, really. That is oneness with Krishna, that we only desire what Krishna desires. And what Krishna desires for us is generally we take to heart the instructions of the spiritual master. He clarifies for us what our duty should be. Yes. He can. Yes, that's a symptom of surrender, that we're always expecting Krishna's mercy. Yes, we don't want to live outside of Krishna's mercy or the mercy of the devotees. That is a tragedy. That's why I was very concerned if I wasn't asked to give class, because that would be a tragedy for me. But I decided to leave it up to Krishna. Either way, if you leave it up to Krishna, you can't really go wrong. Otherwise, we have to perform our duty.
You see, in your life there are many ups and downs. Suppose we went in the down, then we
Yes, if you go on bowing to Krishna and die back, it's your rightful inheritance. Despite all difficulties, it's your rightful inheritance to go back to Godhead. You keep performing your service despite difficulties. Of course, devotional service should be joyfully performed, but sometimes we may have a problem just getting through a nata nivritti. That can be problematic, and we may be anxious because we're not achieving that. We're not coming to the stage of nishta and ruchi, which is real taste of Krishna consciousness. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.